We want to welcome you back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. For the next couple of times, we would like to spend some time talking about peer pressure. Now, instantly, your mind probably went to teenagers. You probably thought, well, I'm a little bit too old for peer pressure. You know, probably the only people that are too old for peer pressure are the folks in their 90s that don't have many peers still alive. That's about the limits of peer pressure, because it doesn't really make any difference how old we are. It starts when we're young, but it doesn't get any less. In fact, the Bible tells us that the religious leaders of Jesus' day had tremendous peer pressure. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead in John chapter 11, and so many of their religious followers were believing in Jesus because of the miracle and because of what Jesus was teaching. But it says in verse 42 of John chapter 12, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Yep, that's peer pressure. So here are adults. Here are religious leaders that have given in to the pressure of what their peers think and say. And so many times it goes back to who our friends are. In fact, if you make a list of the names of your three best friends, and then you kind of put beside their names the things maybe that they do to influence you to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be interesting to know if you're able to write much of anything beside their names. Now, these are your best friends, but do they influence you to become more Christ-like? It could be that you might want to change that list and beside their names, write down the things that you do to influence them to become more Christ-like. You see, sad to say, peer pressure is something we face today, regardless of age. Yes, it usually starts when we're young. 2 Samuel chapter 13 tells a dreadful story, a story of a man that had some evil intents concerning his half-sister, lusting after her beauty. Her name was Tamar. And her brother was really a half-brother, same dad, different mother. And the Bible says that Amnon was so eaten up by his lust that he couldn't even sleep at night. Now, the sad thing is the fact that the Bible tells us that Amnon had a friend. That's 2 Samuel 13 and verse 3. And I've circled that expression, Amnon had a friend. Wow. What a friend he was. His name was Jonadab, and he was a wicked young man. In fact, he was Amnon's cousin. And so he comes to his cousin, and he says, "Why are you sad today? You look like you're losing weight." And Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar." Now remember, this is his half-sister. "My brother Absalom's sister." Now the word "love" there means to covet or desire to possess. It was not the godly love that a guy should have for a girl, but it was a lust. I desire to possess her, to control her. So Jonadab came up with a plan. He said, "Pretend like you're sick, and then ask her if she would fix something for you, maybe to kind of gain your strength. And when she comes in, invite her into your bedroom, and then ask everybody else to leave the bedroom. And then when everybody is gone, you can do with her what you want." Amnon had a friend, not much of a friend. And sad to say, many times, the kinds of friends that we choose or that our teenagers choose will often be the temptation that leads them into some major wrong decisions. And of course, we know that when everybody was gone from the room, he says to her, "Come lie with me." And then he says, "My sister." Isn't that amazing? In other words, He wanted sexual activity with his own half-sister. And she answered him, "No, my brother, don't force me, for these kinds of things are not done in our land." And she did everything she possibly could to persuade him against this plan, but the Bible says he forced her and lay with her. And the amazing thing then, in verse 15, the Bible says Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And so he began to try to give everybody the idea that she had forced herself upon him, and he was the victim, and he kicked her out of his bedroom. And of course, a horrible story is a result after it all. Peer pressure. Amnon had a friend. Now, what are the sources of peer pressure that we face ourselves, or that our children face, our teenagers face? Well, first of all, it's our friends. And those are people that we choose. And young people, if you're listening to my voice this morning, many times we choose friends that our parents disapprove of, because they can see some things. They've been down the road a piece, so to speak, and they know often character traits that may be lacking in the lives of young people that they're around. And it could be that they are even trying to help you to see those things and warn you to stay away from those kinds of friends. Now, why is it that you choose friends that your parents don't like? It could be that they have a philosophy of life, or maybe a set of standards that you admire. And it could be that you are either secretly doing what your friends are doing, or at least you want to do it. You want to act like them. And so you choose them as friends. Now the question is, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, young people, why do you even have desires like that in your life? Well, I think first of all is insecurity. The desire to be accepted by the crowd. Oh, that's a desire that is so prevalent, always has been. A desire to be accepted, a desire to be a part of the in crowd. And sometimes it gets to the point that you don't feel like you make much of an impression on members of the opposite sex. And so you begin to say, well, what am I going to have to do, you know, to fit in? Because you want to be loved by someone. And so competition begins to occur. And if you're a young girl, many times the competition is very strong between girls to try to get the attention of a few guys. And that competition can lead to some major compromises when it comes to your convictions or your standards of actions or places that you would be going and what you'd be doing. And so the question that you often ask is, what do I have to change to be in the competition? You know, do I have to change the way I dress? Do I have to wear tighter skirts or blouses or slits or tight pants or flirty and aggressive activity? What kind of things do I have to change to be in the competition? Do I have to change the kind of person that I'm going to date? Maybe I don't see many Christian guys around, and so maybe I need to just kind of be willing to date guys that are not Christians. Maybe that will even go to church with me, but you know, really not Christians. Insecurity. You see, that is one of the first reasons that the average teenager gives. I want to be accepted. The second one is pride. Pride. I want to be independent. And many teenagers will say, I want to make my own decisions. And sad to say, many times the media is pushing that very thing, that teenagers need to be independent. And so consequently, they will say, you need to be independent of what your parents say, and you need to make your own decisions. The only problem is you're never independent of all your friends. You're very dependent upon your friends. In fact, those that start smoking or drinking or taking drugs or whatever, often it is a result of the influence of a friend. And so your drive for independence becomes a greater drive for dependence upon your peers. And sad to say, many times your peers can lead you where you have no clue you're ever going to wind up. but it's going to be a path of destruction. Now, once you start giving in to peer pressure, what kind of things take place? What are the effects of peer pressure, whether you're an adult or a teenager or a child? What kind of things take place once people become so important in your heart and mind that you feel like you've got to make some changes just to fit in? Well, usually, the first change that you see is an attitude change. An attitude change. In other words, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, maybe during a preaching of a message or a Bible study or a Sunday school lesson or something like that, many times the Holy Spirit is just kind of shut down because all the cool kids are writing notes and laughing and talking and cutting up. And so, you know, you want to fit in with them. And so you start writing notes along with them. You start disregarding what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you about listening carefully to the Word of God. Attitude changes. And many times it's an attitude change about the authorities in your life, maybe a teacher or maybe a parent. And you begin to argue with your parents on most discussions until either they blow up or give in. And either way, you feel like you've won. Because once they blow up or once they give in, then you can blame their inconsistent Christianity. But you see, attitude changes are usually the result of wrong peer pressure. Because of pride. In fact, Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. Years ago, a book was written entitled Teenage Rebellion, and the question was asked 100 different rebels who admitted that they were rebels. The question was, what was the most important factor in your rejection of the theology or the values of your parents? What was the most important factor in causing you to reject what your parents believed and taught you concerning God? The answer that was the leading answer for every one of these rebels was a friend's influence. A friend's influence. A decreased ability to say no. To say no. Because once you begin to make attitude changes, then you feel like, I've got to give in. I've got to go along to get along. And so when the pressure for sex or drugs or alcohol or whatever it is that comes your way, you have to make a compromise to kind of increase your competition standing. Well, we've run out of time for today. Next time we get together, we'll continue to talk about more effects of peer pressure. And then we're going to be talking about how to deal with peer pressure in a godly way, how to overcome that pressure so that the pressure is no longer there, no longer pressuring you into a box that eventually becomes a casket, spiritually, emotionally, and possibly physically. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you and lead you in His holy way.